of this program kicking off here on KFGO on this Saturday morning. Doug Litter sitting with us, sipping on his coffee, and both of us wishing we were sitting in a deer stand or sitting in a fish house or riding around in a pickup truck right now, going to our next pheasant hunting spot, because we'd much rather be having these conversations in those locales than in this one. And we hope that you are doing that. We hope you're in a pickup right now, driving on a back road somewhere in Sargent County, going to your next pheasant hunting spot, or going scouting for deer or whatever you're going to do.
Just getting outdoors this time of year.
Just doing anything. Just, yep. Yeah,
I'm with you, Michael.
This another message that I found out, and I don't know if you sent me this one or not, but somebody said that your department, the Game and Fish Department, did a check station last weekend near Arisca, North Dakota. And the parallel I made with it, Doug, was the sobriety checkpoints that they have. That it's, you know, we always hear about that where the cops set up a spot on a Friday night and they stop 125 vehicles and 8 of them get DUIs that night. Is this what we're talking about here with what Game and Fish is doing?
I think you're right on the parallel of a check station. It's something where the randomness is put on the side, and anybody that's hunting or has been hunting or looks like hunting is run through the check station, and they've been done for as long as I can remember. You know, for 20 years, check stations have been, and it's probably not that far of a removal from a sobriety checkpoint. It's not like Game and Fish just says, okay, we're gonna go do a check station here. They work through the state attorney's office for that county, whether it's Barnes County or Cass County or whatever county that they're in, and make sure that they have basically all the I's dotted and the T's crossed for where they're going to do it and when they're going to do it. Because without the support of the state's attorney's office, it's not like, you know, there's certainly going to be state's attorneys and counties where they might have a little different view on whether it's a sobriety check. I think, in fact, I remember in the news, you know, someplace across, maybe it was South Central North Dakota, there was a state's attorney's office that didn't want to have sobriety checkpoints in their county.
Yeah.
So it's not something where Game and Fish just throws a dart at the map and says, this is where we're going. There's a lot of planning and a lot of process that works into it. And the other side of it is different in terms of like a sobriety checkpoint is when you look at hunting and fishing and the outdoors and the number of game wardens we've got. Under 40 field game wardens across the entire state of North Dakota. And the people that hunt pheasants and that are out duck hunting and goose hunting, they're spread out through all corners of North Dakota as well. And in some aspects, comparable to sobriety checkpoints, is knowing that those could happen, checkpoints could happen, maybe is a little bit of a deterrent and maybe keeps people a little bit honest going, you know, the mentality when I grew up, before I was even a game warden, when I was hunting, was like every truck that came by, I was like, I wonder if that's a game warden. And you're laughing because I think, and people still do that. Like, okay, you know, you don't recognize the truck. It looks like, yep, could be a game warden. And you want to make sure that you're doing everything right. So there is a little bit of a deterrence factor that comes into play in that as well.
Is there and this maybe is a too strong of a word, but is there a targeting factor? You know, when Game and Fish looks at an area where they want to have a checkpoint, is there a specific reason why they chose a county? Do they say, gosh, you know what? There are a gajillion pheasants in County A, and boy, the conditions are just ripe for people to shoot a dozen birds as opposed to three birds. Does some of that go into it?
Well, let me ask you, would Cass County do a sobriety checkpoint in Alice on Sunday morning at 9 a.m.?
Not if they want to catch drunken drivers.
Right. So when you're looking for a site to do a game check or a road check from Game and Fish, you look in there, and I won't say, you know, like Arisca has been used in the past because it's a major corridor on I-94, and you have a lot of hunters that'll be traveling if their home is in Fargo or if they're non-residents from Minnesota and from Minneapolis. So there's definitely some planning that goes into it in terms of where you're going to do it and why you're going to do it at that location. That's just fundamental to, again, whether it would be a sobriety checkpoint or a game check.
What's the quote-unquote success rate? How many people are being cited, if you can share that information, from these
I think people would be surprised on both ends in terms of the number of hunters that come through, and sometimes the pendulum can swing in terms of, wow, I can't believe there's that many violations, or Yeah, gosh, I'm surprised that, you know, they find people that don't have the proper identification on there. Mm-hmm. They also find people with warrants that are for, you know, arrest. They have drug situations and alcohol violations, and there's just a whole gamut. I don't know, from this particular one, I don't know the exact total of citations that were issued, but I know from my past in working these, it can be an eye opener for game wardens as well as hunters as well, as to what you find. I'll throw this out there because I'm not giving away any top secrets or anything like that. But you can go back to where there's signs up that say game check coming up mm-hmm. ahead. And same with law enforcement. You can go back and, you know, where that sign is, you can see ducks thrown out the window and beer cans thrown out the window and sure. paraphernalia thrown out the window into the ditch. Like, they're not going to find that stuff.
Right.
So it's surprising from both ends of it, Mike.
And that's just a minute left here, but it's a reminder, too, that game wardens and the enforcement division of Game and Fish, they're law enforcement officers. I mean, they're trained,
right. yeah.
licensed law enforcement officers.
The priority is to detect game and fish violations. But again, I can go back to my own experiences is you find people with warrants from Nebraska that are fishing along the Red River in the Fargo area. So they are licensed peace officers in North Dakota, primarily looking for game and fish violations. But if they find other violations, they have arrest authority as well, Mike.
Always enjoy it, Mr. Lear.
My pleasure as well, Mike.
Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish, and you can hear him on KFGO in the mornings with Tom Wynn. Also, he does some shtick with Jack and Sandy in the afternoons and Joel Heitkamp as well. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish, thanks for stopping by. When we return, yeah, our guy Jeff Katzer from Devil's Lake, he will join us as well. We'll find out how things are going. I've been hearing that there's been some ponds and some of the small sloughs freezing in the Devil's Lake Basin, so maybe some of those ducks are going to get pushed into South Dakota, pushed south here pretty quick. But we'll check in with Katzer next on KFGO. He can't even bait a hook.